Well, praise the Lord. Take your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah the 13th chapter. I do appreciate Brother John's, the Abundant Pardon Prison Ministry. It is one of the great ministries of Berean Baptist Church. Just produces every week. Just constant, all the time. Souls being saved in that ministry. People getting baptized in that ministry. We just need to work on tithing, Larry. Get those fellas tithing. Anyway, what a blessing. It is a great ministry. People saved today in the prison ministry. And just always, every week, we hear results, good results from that ministry. And so praise the Lord for that. Nehemiah chapter 13, we finally, after 1 year, we wrap up the book of Nehemiah. And we won't tonight, but we are at the last chapter. But there's a lot of good stuff in the chapter. And we're going to talk about, actually I've divided this chapter into four parts, and tonight probably we'll just get through one of those parts. The four parts are the people's ignorance, then the second one, number two, is the priest's iniquity, number three, the powerful influence, and then number four, the proper instruction. And so once we get through all four of those parts, we will be finished with the book of Nehemiah. It's been an exciting book. Really, to get through it in a year is... I probably went a lot faster than I'd like to, but we were having the revival and everything, so we did hit a couple things a little quicker and everything. But anyway, it's been a good study, all about building and, of course, God's blessing. And in spite of the battle, God can bless, and He does. And you just keep building, and God will bless, and that's good. And so I hope it's been a help to everybody. I hope it continues to be as we go through this. We're going to talk to you tonight about the mixed multitude. Nehemiah 13, verse 1, it says, "On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing." By the way, He does that often. Amen. Amen. He does that many, many times. Verse 3, "Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude." And this was a constant problem in the book of Nehemiah. Remember when we went through Ezra, and we went through Ezra very quickly, but we talked about the people taking in wives from other countries, other religions, and of course, producing within that a mixed multitude, and it was a constant problem. And here, of course, it is addressed. Much of Nehemiah 13 is about the mixed multitude, the influence, what happens, and all of that. Understand that there is a mixed multitude in any good independent fundamental Baptist church. I mean, it's going to be there. There's going to be this mixed multitude, and I want to talk to you about that tonight. And just hopefully get through some things that will be a help to us as we study this. Father, I pray that You will guide and direct as we finish off the book of Nehemiah. I pray that everything will be, we'll kind of remember some of the things we've already learned and draw upon them in our lives, and help us, Lord, to build and to battle, and God, to watch You give the blessings. And I pray that especially tonight You'll help us to understand this mixed multitude and what a problem it is, but how we can have victory with a mixed multitude. Please bless and speak to hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've divided this last chapter into four parts: the people's ignorance, verses 1 to 3, the priest's iniquity, verses 4 through 22, the powerful influence, verses 23 through 26, and the proper instruction, which is actually throughout the several verses where we see the instruction how to deal with the mixed multitude. Now, mixed multitude's always a battle in the Christian life. You can look at it in a spiritual view and realize in your own life, your own body, there's a mixed multitude. You've got the old flesh, the old man that wants to keep doing the things of the past. The flesh that wants to continue in sin and go on and do the things that you got saved out of. The old Egyptian, if you will, in you, that wants to go back to Egypt all the time, and constantly all it takes is a couple of notes of a song or maybe a couple of words somebody says, maybe the beginning of a joke or something like that, and all of a sudden Egypt starts pulling on you. And that's that mixed multitude inside. Every one of us has a little bit of that Babylonian influence in us. and that Babylonian multitude that, boy, just wants us to go back to Babylon and do the Babylonian things. And it's a battle. It's a battle. And if you can, again, imagine, in here in the book of Nehemiah, we've seen it over and over. We have the enemy right there. The enemy is very close all the time. That's because there's always a mixed multitude. Look at Exodus 12, verse 38. I made reference to this a while ago, the Egyptians. Exodus 12 and verse 38. Children of Israel, boy, it's victory time and they're leaving Egypt. But I want you to, again, notice Exodus 12 and verse 38. And here the Bible says, verse 37, the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. Notice, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. Of course, later on, this mixed multitude causes them to think about Egypt and want to go back to Egypt. And they fell a-lusting because they didn't have, they weren't satisfied with what God had provided and all that. But again, here it was the Egyptians. So they leave Egypt, but a little bit of Egypt went with them. Here in Nehemiah, well, the people left Babylon and a little bit of Babylon came with them. The Ammonites, the Moabites, Babylonians, they had a mixed multitude, others that came along with them. When I got saved, I brought a little bit of the world along with me. Yes, I'm a new creature. Yes, God's given me new life. But I've still got an old nature, an old flesh that still has Egypt and Babylon and still knows a lot about Egypt and Babylon. By the way, young people, that's why we try to keep you from ever going to Egypt. That's why we try to keep you out of Babylon. That's why we try to keep Babylon and Egypt and the Ammonites and the Moabites and all of that influence, we try to keep that away from you so that you don't have it constantly pulling on you like many of us do. And I know you say, well, but we need to experience that. The least sin that you experience, the better off you are. I promise you that. I mean that with all my heart. And every adult here will amen that because there are so many things we wish we had not done. And we're trying to keep you from doing some of those same things. But that mixed multitude, it's a problem. It always has been a problem. And in the end time, there's going to be a one world government. Well, the mixed multitude tries to get that to happen all the time. Where we don't have to agree on doctrine. We don't have to agree that the Bible is the Word of God. All we have to do is just love each other. All we have to do is just get along. We don't have to, nobody has to say there this is right or that's right. There doesn't have to be any set standard or any set rule. Everybody can just do their own thing as long as we're all sincere together and we all just hold hands and we become Barney Baptists together. That is not the will of God, never has been. God has always said, come out from among them and be separate. And that's what we're supposed to do as far as the mixed multitude. Religion is this mixed multitude wants to change the way we believe. And so that we are all politically correct and everything else. It's always been that way. In the book of Genesis, a fellow named Nimrod got everybody together. They built a tower. Everybody was united for one cause against God. And they're going to build a tower to heaven. And God said, no. God said, I'm going to mess all that up. And God unmixed the mixed multitude and said, you guys all go your separate ways. And you're dangerous when you get together. And it always has been. It's always been. It's a constant battle. And God says, come out from among them and be ye separate. And that's what, when I got saved, I came out from among them. And when I became separated, I came out from among them. God said, I don't want you in the rock and roll crowd anymore. And so I came out from among that crowd. God said, I don't want you in the partying crowd anymore. And so I came out from among that crowd. God said, I don't want you in the cussing and swearing crowd anymore. So I had to come out from among that crowd. And whatever crowd there was that was anti-God and anti-Christ, I realized I had to come out of that crowd. God says, come out from among them. God doesn't want me to be in the midst of a mixed multitude. He wants me to come out. And he says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And by the way, you wouldn't have to come out from among if you would reprove. They'll come out from among you. Hello. It's true. But again, it's always been a problem. Always will be. Nehemiah, according to verse 6 of chapter 13, but in all this time was not I at Jerusalem, For in the 32th year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. So Nehemiah, after the wall was built and the dedication and all of that, Nehemiah went back to Babylon. And then it says, after certain days, he said, I obtained leave of the king after certain days. Probably most commentators think he was gone about a year. And within that year, by the way, the mixed multitude always was there, but within that year, the mixed multitude started making their positions known. The mixed multitude started affecting the people more. As long as Nehemiah was there, I mean, he constantly was preaching against the mixed multitude, constantly preaching against false doctrine, constantly speaking out against other traditions and other beliefs and other religions and all of that. As long as Nehemiah was there watching that, hey, he just built walls. He didn't want to wall in error. He wanted to wall in truth and protect the truth. And he didn't want error mixed in with that. As long as Nehemiah was there, the mixed multitude could not really stand up. They tried. Tobiah, Sanballat, Geshem. I mean, they tried to defeat them. But then when Nehemiah was gone, the mixed multitude kind of reared up its ugly head again, and the effects began to show. Again, when Moses was gone, that's when the people decided to make the golden calf. Had Moses been there, they never would have. But again, it was God's will that Moses be gone, and because again, that was what was in the people's hearts. Why? Because there was a mixed multitude that was talking. There was a mixed multitude that was leading. That didn't just happen all of a sudden, you understand. There was a mixed multitude that was influencing the people and talking to the people and griping about Moses and complaining about the leader. And it wasn't long in the mix. You know, all it takes is Moses to be gone, and the mixed multitude, finally, they rise up. Well, by that time, they'd got a whole bunch of simple folks following them. And they made the golden calf. And again, when Nehemiah was there, he preached about that. He taught about that. He had rules against that. He kept the mixed multitude in check. And so really, that's kind of what this is all about. I mean, now the effect is taking place where outwardly you see the influence of the mixed multitude. I'm telling you, it will always take place if the mixed multitude is allowed to say a whole lot. It's that way in our lives. I mean, you have to understand that I am a Christian. I'm saved. I'm born again. But there is an old me that is not good. There is a battle that goes on. And fortunately, most of you never see that old nature. In fact, probably, I don't know if anybody here other than my wife has ever known that old nature. And thank God for that, because it's a constant battle to keep that old nature held in check. You fight the same battle Paul did. Don't sit there piously and say, well, bless God, I don't have that. Then you're better than Paul. Amen. I mean, Paul said, I die daily. What's he talking about? He says, I crucify that thing. I crucify that old man every day. Every day, he says, I have to put that old man down because I don't want anybody to see that. I don't want anybody to see my flesh and the flesh and the fleshly actions that I have. And that mixed multitude, same thing. You know, it's always going to be present. It's always going to be there. Let me get to this point. Number one, the people's ignorance. The people's ignorance. In verse 3, the Bible says, now it came to pass when they had heard the law that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. That's why we need to hear over and over and over and over and over again, come out from among them and be separate. That's why we need to hear it. That's why we need to be reminded of it. That's why I need to be reminded of it. I mean, look, it doesn't take a whole lot of sense to know there's a battle going on in every person. I know because it goes on in me. And I need to hear hard preaching. And I need to hear preaching about getting right with God. And I need to hear songs like Brother Hawkins and Karen, they sang a while ago about having my heart right. And I need to hear that, and you need to hear that. We need to hear it over and over again. I don't want that mixed multitude, that Egyptian influence and Babylonian and Ammonite influence in my life. I don't want that to show. I want Jesus to show. And by the way, in a church, I don't want the Ammonite or the Babylonian influence or the Egyptian influence to show. I don't want our kids to hear from an Egyptian. I don't want them to be influenced by an Ammonite. I don't want them to be influenced by a Babylonian. I don't want the Moabites to have their ear ever, for any time, any period. And you shouldn't want that either. See, the people needed to hear it, and they need to hear it over and over and over and over. Whether it's church separation, whether it's personal separation, we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded over and over and over. There is a multitude. There is a mixed multitude. They are not like us. They don't believe like us. And they are all around us trying to influence us to go in a different direction than we're already going. Capital A under this. Just 2 points under this, but that'll be the whole message tonight. Number one, this mixed multitude is mixed by association. Mixed by association. Now, Ammonite, Moabite, Babylonian, Egyptian, that's obvious. They are what they say they are. This is what Nehemiah was facing mostly. He was facing people who said, well, we're Moabites. Well, we're Ammonites. Well, we are, you know, we're from Babylon. And he knew that. And it was very obvious. They are what they say they were. And that is who they were able to separate from in verse 3. It came to pass when they heard the law, they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. They, in other words, here's somebody who says, well, I'm a Moabite. Okay, you're out of here. Here's somebody who's an Ammonite. Okay, you're out of here. Here's somebody who is, you know, because God's word said they were not to be in the congregation of God. You say it sounds kind of harsh. Well, that's what God said, though. By the way, it wouldn't have been harsh had they never been allowed there in the first place. Amen. I mean, it was obvious. So they said, well, you know, we are this. We're Moabites. We're Ammonites. See, it's going to come to in verses 4 on. I don't want to get into that tonight. But Eliashib, the high priest, he allows an Ammonite, Tobiah, the Ammonite, right there in the temple. But again, we'll get to that later. You know, but that's what happens because you drop your guard. Because you know what? The Ammonite's a nice guy. He's not necessarily a bad guy. The Moabite, he's not necessarily, you know, he doesn't necessarily walk up to you and slap you in the face. The mixed multitude, though they are mixed by their association, could be religion, could be their nationality, whatever, as far as here in the book of Nehemiah. Now, again, we don't deal with that so much, but it's obvious, all right? And in this case, I look at the Ammonite, the Moabite, and all them, they're unbelievers. They're simply, obviously, you know, they declare, well, I'm a Moabite. I don't believe like you. I'm an Ammonite. I don't believe like you. I'm a Babylonian. I have my own God. Okay? God said, they're out. Now, you know what? Our Constitution's the same way. Now, we don't tell them they can't come. In fact, we want unsaved people to come. In fact, you need to invite all your unsaved friends. You need to invite anybody you know that's unsaved. You have an unsaved relative, unsaved neighbor, unsaved coworker. You need to invite them. They're welcome to come. But just like our Constitution says, a person to be a member of our church, they have to be saved and baptized, and then they can join the church. You don't let unsaved people join the church. I remember going to a Methodist church when I was little, and I remember the little visitor's card on there. You filled it out and put it in the offering plate, but it had check first visit, put a check there. They had a little check mark place, and after 3 visits, it said, congratulations, you're now a member. I remember that as a child. I thought, wow, I'm a member. But not one time did I hear how to be saved. Not one time did anybody tell me I had to be saved. Not one time did anybody talk about heaven or hell or going there. And congratulations, 3rd visit, you're a member. No. That's foolishness is what that is. We have protection about that mixed multitude, especially mixed by association. Somebody says, well, I'm unsaved. Okay, you can't join the church. You have no say-so. By the way, I don't want an unsaved person having a say-so. They don't have any clue. You know, my dad was unsaved while we were at Bible college, and I never asked my dad a spiritual question. Never. You say, well, that's disrespectful. No, listen to me. My dad didn't have any spiritual answers. He didn't know anything about spiritual things. He was lost. But I asked my dad financial questions. I asked my dad practical questions about houses and about mechanics and different things like that. But never did I ask my dad spiritual questions. Why? Because my dad was not spiritual. He wasn't saved. Are you listening? I mean, we have protection about this being mixed by association. You say, what's the big deal? Well, because many churches used to have that same protection who don't today. And the mixed multitude is in there, Ammonites and Moabites and Babylonians and Egyptians, and they're running the church. By the way, it's obvious when that happens. Because when unsaved people run the church, it's not spiritual. It can't be spiritual. It's impossible. They cannot do things spiritually. And so we have protection about that. And so to be a voting member, you have to be saved. You have to be baptized. And we can deal with that. We can deal with someone who says, well, I'm not saved. Okay, then you cannot join our church. By the way, most unsaved people don't want to. I mean, you know, you invite them. They don't even want to come to church. They'd rather stay home. But we can deal with that. By the way, we can deal with it. We must deal with it. It has to always be like that. You cannot allow unsaved people to be members of your church. You can't do it. Oh, but it'll help them get saved. No, it'll ruin, it'll destroy everything that's going on in the church. You cannot do it. You can't do it, all right? So it has to be dealt with. An unsaved person can't help the church. Unsaved, not spiritually help the church. That's why we have to be separated. But unsaved people, we want them to come. We want them to listen. We want them to get saved. We want them to get baptized. Amen. And we invite them, and we want them to be here. So mixed by association, that's what they dealt with in verse 3. That was easily dealt with. Well, I say easily. It was actually very difficult to deal with that. But it had to be dealt with. Why? Because God said so. That's why. And the people were ignorant because they just, you know, again, they either forgot or they were willingly ignorant. They allowed something to happen that should not have happened. And these people became part of their congregation. And it would destroy them had they not done something about it. And it will destroy you if you don't do something about it. It destroys us if we don't do something about it. Hey, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church are becoming, there's not a whole lot of them. Not compared to everything else. I could show you what used to be an independent, fundamental Baptist church that is now a Bible church. And again, well, that's not, oh, well, a Bible church, that's good. Well, that doesn't, okay, what's it mean? Well, they believe the Bible. Really, which one? And what do they believe about the Bible? Again, people take the name Baptist off because everybody kind of has an idea what Baptist means. Not even that means anything nowadays because that keeps changing. And all I'm saying is mixed by association, you just have to keep keep it pure. And that is, hey, do you have a testimony of salvation? You've trusted Christ as Savior and you've been baptized. And so praise the Lord for that. But then there is the problem. And again, verse 3, they said, well, I'm an Ammonite. Okay, you're not allowed in the congregation. I'm a Moabite. Okay, you are not allowed in the congregation. Okay, we understand that. But now we have the second part of the mixed multitude. That's those that are mixed by agenda. Okay, we have mixed by association, but there's also mixed by agenda. Well, what do you mean? I'm talking about folks who have a different agenda. Okay? In other words, we don't know who they are. You know who the Moabites are because they say, I are a Moabite. Okay? You know who the Ammonites are because they say, that's who I am. We know who the Babylonians are. They say, I'm a Babylonian. Okay? But then you have someone who has a different agenda, and they're part of the mixed multitude too because they don't say who they are. They might be an Ammonite, but they don't tell you that. They might be, they might have the heart of an Egyptian, but they don't tell you they have the heart of an Egyptian. And guess what? They're in the midst too. They're in the midst too. And they have a different agenda than the congregation has. Now, you know, as pastor of Berean Baptist Church, here's the agenda, all right? Independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, radical nut, King James Bible, soul-winning, bus ministry, altar call, Baptist Church. Blood of Jesus, virgin birth, all of it. Okay, that's the agenda. Okay, understand, there are those who don't have that same agenda. Satan knows exactly what he's doing. Every good church has a mixed multitude inside. Every good church, by the way, if you're doing right, you have unsaved people coming. Amen? Praise the Lord. We just, you know, and we want unsaved people coming. I want them to be here. You know that. And every good church, a soul-winning church, you have unsaved people in your services all the time, and you preach to them, and you talk to them, and you do everything you can to get them saved. But I'll tell you this, too. Every good, independent, fundamental Baptist church also has the ones that are mixed by agenda. They have a different agenda. Why? Because Satan hates our church. He hates the stand we take. He hates the wall that's built. And he's constantly doing everything he can to disrupt that agenda. Now, again, you know, the mixed multitude in the Bible, they have a plan. And the plan is, we're going to change this thing. And we're going to make it the way we want it to be. Tobiah, that's what he wanted. Sanballat, that's what he wanted. Geshem, that's what they wanted. And their plan was to try to change everything. You know, the interesting thing, look if you will, at Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. I think that's right. Let me look here and make sure. All right. Well, let's look at it. It's all good. Matthew 13. Keep your place in Nehemiah, but look at Matthew 13. 24. Well, this sounds like the book of Nehemiah right here. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept. Sounds like while Nehemiah was gone. Sounds like while Moses was gone. Amen. His enemy came and sowed tares. Tares are weeds, okay? They're worthless. Sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. What do tares do? Tares are going to take the water away from the wheat. Tares are going to take the nutrients out of the ground so that the wheat cannot grow. Tares are going to obviously have an effect. Weeds, just like weeds in your garden, they're going to have an effect. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the people are asleep. The enemy comes in and sows weeds among the good crop. But now when it's starting to spring up, the weeds are showing. All right, verse 27. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? In other words, should we go find all the weeds and gather them up? Notice what he says. But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. In other words, the good fruit is going to be destroyed if you go now and try to pull up all those weeds. Huh. And look what he says in verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. That's an amazing thing in the scripture. Let both grow. You know, God knows about the mixed multitude in the church. God knows all about that. God knows what's going on. God knows about the tares mixed in with the wheat. But God himself said, well, just let them grow together until the harvest. And he says, in the time of harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. He says, I got it all under control. There will be a harvest, and I know who's who. You just keep bringing forth fruit. Isn't that something? So while we're aware of a mixed multitude, we don't need to spend a whole lot of time on the mixed multitude. Are you listening? You know, we're not mixed multitude sheriffs. Okay? There's other things to do. You're not the tear sheriff. Bless God, I got my gospel gun, and I'm looking to shoot me some tares. Okay, that's not our job. He said they're going to grow together. Okay? Here's what you need to do. You just go get more fruit. Amen. You bring forth more fruit. Okay, how am I going to deal with that? Look, it is a fact. The mixed multitude, we don't know who the mixed multitude is. Okay, you don't have any idea who the mixed multitude is. I mean, more than likely, there are probably unsaved people in our church that say they're saved. I don't know who they are. And guess what God says? God says, you don't have time to deal. Don't spend your time trying to figure it out. He said, I've got it figured out. There will be a harvest, and I know. Hey, if you're here today and you're not saved and you're pretending, God knows. And you can fool me and you can fool Brother Kelvin and Brother Tim and you can fool other people around you and it's not doing you a bit of good. Because you're going to die and go to hell if you don't get saved. Okay, you are not doing a bit of good to try to fool anybody. The truth is, more than likely, there are unsaved people sitting in our midst and there may be unsaved people trying to destroy our church. I don't know. I know the devil's trying to destroy our church. But God says this. He says, okay, let them grow together. That's fine. In the harvest, we'll know who they are. Let them grow together. Let the weeds, let the tares, or the tares and the wheat, let them grow together. Let them grow together. Let them come up together. Let them go to church together. Let them do all those things together. It seems like a strange thing. But I think what God is saying is, God says, you'll be stronger because of, I'll explain that in just a minute. But God says, let it happen. Let the mixed multitude, you don't know who they are anyway. Don't spend your time trying to figure it out. You know, there's some folks, constantly going through the, I know this person's not right and that person's not right and that person. Who has time to figure all that stuff out? We're all sinners. Nobody's perfect. Who has time to figure all that out? Truth of the matter is, as a pastor, I realize there are many here that love me. There are many here that love my preaching. There are some who don't. There are some that don't agree with much that I preach. But I'm not trying to find you. I'm just going to keep preaching. I'm just going to keep preaching and teaching and keep preaching what the Bible says. And I've got to preach what I believe, because if I preach what you believe or what somebody else believes, then I'm not being honest. I'm not going to change you. You're not going to change me. God says, let them grow together. Someday we'll be in the harvest. Someday we'll be at the judgment seat. Someday we'll find out who was right. Amen. And the tare is imitation wheat, but it's just a weed. And the enemy sows that among to try to destroy. All great churches have tares. All of them do. All great churches have a mixed multitude. Liberal churches don't have tares. They're run by tares. That's true. They don't believe in the virgin birth. They're lost. They don't believe in the deity of Christ. They're lost. So don't look at me funny. Oh, you can't. No, they're lost. That's very clear. I think God lets that weed, that tear, I think he lets it grow next to you so you'll get stronger. To be honest with you, I really do. You say, yeah, but some are lost. Oh, I know. I understand that. I just preached about the scorner, and the scorners are tares. Hello? Boy, nobody amened. It makes me feel like I need to stay on that a while. But I'm just saying, scorners are tares. They're weeds. And you say, yeah, but the scorner, when you talk about that, the scorner affects the simple. That's right. That's why we need to get the simple to quit being simple and to be unsimple and become wise so that the scorner doesn't affect them. So they look at the scorner and they say, where do you get such foolish thoughts? Where do you get such ridiculous ideas? See, that's how it should be. See, I think, again, you get stronger. Because, as that weed is going down and trying to get all the water out of the ground, then the wheat should say, bless God, you're not going to get all my water. I'm going to grow. And so the wheat gets stronger because it's going to get the root down there, and it's going to beat it to the water, and it's going to get the nutrient. And you know what? If we would just think about this, there are tares all around. After your water, you'd get stronger. There's a mixed multitude all around. After your church, you get stronger. Just kind of makes sense to me. Yeah, I think with the wheat having a tear next to it, I think I'll just grow higher. I'll get closer to the sun. I'll just grow deeper. I'll get closer to the water. I'll just grow bigger. I'll get more nutrients. Amen. And it ought to get us more excited. Don't ever think. See, our problem and the reason we get disenchanted with our church is we think we have a perfect church. You never will have a perfect church here. It isn't going to happen. Don't ever get this idea that, well, we have a perfect church. It is not perfect. It can't be perfect. And realize that within it, there's a mixed multitude, different agendas all the time. You know what? You need to find the agenda that is Bible, that you believe is the truth, and stick with it and uphold it and follow it and support it and be loyal to it, and do not allow other agendas to ever influence you. That's what I had to do. That's what others have had to do. And that is called taking a stand. And that is called, okay, how am I going to find out if it's true or not? Right here in this book. And you go to the book, and you study the book, and you memorize the book, and it's the Word of God, and let it change your life. So the mixed multitude, when they come and they tug on you a little bit, and they say, hey, Egypt's pretty nice, you say, you've got to be kidding. You have got to be kidding. I've been to Canaan. Why in the world would anyone want to be in Egypt when you've been to Canaan? If you get into the Holy of Holies with God, Egypt is nothing. But you know, the simple, it's tough. It's tough. You say, yeah, you know, that influence on those people, I understand. But get stronger. Get stronger. Get stronger. You know, rise up. Rise up. You say, man, you know, I believe these things, and I believe the King James Bible. Rise up then and stand for it. I believe in separation. Rise up and stand for it. You know, the problem is when the wheat becomes weak and the weeds overcome it. It reminds me of my tour down in Louisiana when I pastored there. My first year, we had a God Save America conference, and I decided to drive. I thought, well, Louisiana is not a big state, and it really isn't. And I thought I'd drive around and visit Independent Baptists and invite them to our God Save America conference. And so I started. I had a list of different churches, and I went from town to town, and that was an experience. Louisiana is an experience. Isn't that right, Angel? But especially you get around those Cajuns. But I'll never forget, huge church, building not quite this big, but almost this big, had a nice big gymnasium. But I remember as I came down the road, beside it, I noticed the grass needed cut. I mean, in fact, it was terrible. There were weeds everywhere. And I pulled in to the front of the drive there, and the sign had weeds all around it. And I'm talking about a nice facility. Nice church building, nice big gymnasium in the back. And I thought, good night. And I'd even heard of this church. And I thought, I wonder what the deal is. And I drove in there and drove around the back, and there was a sign on the back that said closed. Closed. And weeds are growing up everywhere. And you know, I thought about those weeds growing up, and I thought immediately of this passage of Scripture. You know, the weeds have a different agenda. Are you listening? The weeds have a different agenda. You know, do you believe your Bible? Do you believe Jesus is God? Do you believe in Christ as your Savior? Do you believe in old-fashioned, hard preaching and soul-winning and altar calls? Do you believe in bus ministries and confrontational soul-winning? Do you believe in all those kind of things? Do you believe in standards and separation? Do you believe in those kind of things? If you believe in those things, all you got to do is just simply rise up, and the mixed multitude will stay down. It always is like that. It always is like that. You rise up high and block the sun from those weeds don't grow so much. You just keep preaching hard. Keep the Holy Spirit moving in the service. Amen. Conviction, conviction, conviction. That's what you do. That's what we need to do. The mixed multitude doesn't have to have an influence. And that's what Nehemiah is saying. Nehemiah said, okay, here's these ones that are mixed by association. They say, we know what they are. But there's a whole bunch in here. We don't know what they are. We just know their agenda is not quite what ours is. Huh? You know, that's the thing. God says, well, he says, don't spend a whole lot of time on it. He says they're there. They're always going to be there. It's just like the sinful nature that you have within you. You know what? I don't spend any time dealing with my sin nature. You know what I do? I try to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. I try to make my spiritual nature bigger all the time. Amen. How do you do that? You feast on the Word of God. You walk with God. You spend time in the Holy of Holies. Hey, you know, Egypt is tempting if you've never been in the Holy of Holies. Egypt compared to the courtyard, you know, I don't know. Certainly Egypt compared to the wilderness isn't so hot. I mean, the wilderness doesn't look too good compared to Egypt, if that's where you are, in the wilderness. But you can't beat the Holy of Holies. You can't beat Canaan. You can't beat the land that flows with milk and honey. So get there. Get there. And the mixed multitude will struggle if you grow in the Lord and you make doing right, right. That's always been the goal. You know, you make doing right, right. Doing right is more popular than doing wrong. That's how it should be. That's what we're trying to get in Berean Baptist Academy. I thought somebody would say amen. I mean, that is the goal, where doing right is the most popular thing. Where somebody does right and people say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Somebody does wrong and it's kind of like, oh, that's too bad. Instead of somebody does wrong, ooh, that's cool, man. That doesn't belong in Berean Baptist Academy. I don't think that's why the school was started. And so really, this year, I mean, we have a group of kids. They really do. I think the majority wants to do right. People want to do wrong, but it's got to be whispered about a little bit more. Hello? That's the way it should be. The mixed multitude's always there. It's always going to be here. But it just depends on what you do with it and how you deal with it and how we grow as the wheat and get bigger than the weeds. Amen. Amen. You know, anytime God's people are anywhere in the Bible, the mixed multitude's always there. You know, it's always like that. Cain was a member of the first family. You know, Absalom was in David's home. Lot was in Abraham's home. Esau was in Isaac's home. Ham was in Noah's home. Judas was part of the 12 disciples. Korah was among the priests in the Old Testament. I mean, the devil always is mixing trouble in with God's people. He's always doing it. But the part I'm trying to get you to understand is God said, just leave it alone. Just do right. Doing right is a way to deal with it. Getting growing is a way to deal with it. Getting bigger is a way to deal with it. Amen. And we have a mixed multitude here. We have a right crowd. We have a wrong crowd. It's always like that. Always will be like that. The key is, the right crowd needs to do right and keep doing right and make it more popular to do right. And that keeps the mixed multitude, whatever that group is that wants to do wrong, it keeps them quiet. That's really the goal. I don't want someone who wants to do wrong having an influence on children. You don't either, I don't think. I don't want someone who doesn't believe in the virgin birth to teach our kids. I don't want someone who doesn't believe in the King James Bible to have an influence on our kids. So again, you say, well, there's nobody here who believes like, well, I don't know if there is or not. But I would say there probably is since God told us about it and warned us about it. And since the devil hates us, it doesn't surprise me. Don't be shocked. Just join the right crowd. Amen. Stay away from the worldly crowd. I mean, we need to be friendly. We need to say hello. And I am. But I stay away. Stay away from gossips. You know, stay away from disloyal people. Stay away from people that have unbiblical thoughts and make them known. You know, stay away from folks criticize soul winning. Stay away from them. Folks criticize the bus ministry. Stay away from them. People that talk about lordship salvation or work salvation or anything, just stay away from them. Amen. People say, well, I don't believe in tithing. Stay away from them. They may not believe in tithing, but they always will speak up in a business meeting. Yes. Hello. You say, well, you think you're right. I am right. I am right. Hello. I am right. And if I didn't think I was right, I shouldn't be up here. Okay, any preacher that gets up and says, well, I'm not sure if it's right or not, he's not worth anything. I mean, you've got to believe you're right. You've got to be willing to die for what you believe. That's our problem. Some of you are still kind of, I don't know, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You know, it's not about hurting people. What about God's feelings? What about Nehemiah having to stand up and say, hey, you know what? We've heard the law. We heard what God said. Ammonites, goodbye. Moabites, get out. Amen. But that's because they said that's what they were. Otherwise, you just need to do right. We need to do right together, and right needs to be bigger than wrong. And as long as right's bigger than wrong, then we get up higher, and then the weeds don't get any sun. Amen. Amen. And weeds have to keep hearing the Holy Spirit deal with them. And weeds have to keep hearing hard preaching. Huh? That's the way it ought to be. Well, amen. You say, well, I disagree. Then if I knew you disagreed, I'd tell folks to avoid you. I just don't know it because you whisper. You don't tell me. No, I'm just throwing that out. I don't necessarily know that. I don't know anybody like that at this moment. But, you know, don't be surprised. Mixed multitude is there. Here's the thing. Do you love God? Do you want God's blessing? Okay, what do you believe? What do you believe? Again, we avoid the mixed multitude. God told us, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We don't avoid them because we're better than they are. We avoid them because we want what's right to be right. And I don't want to be changed. I don't hang around with worldly conversation. I either change it or I leave it. Why? Because I don't want to be changed. Because it's too easy. I could get changed. Some of you got changed. Because you hung around the wrong conversation. And you hung around the wrong shows. And you hung around the wrong music. And you hung around the wrong reading. And you hung around the wrong teaching. And you got confused and you got mixed up. And you've changed. Okay. But again, I'm not against you. I love you and I want to help you. But here's the thing. I'm going to promote what I believe. And I'm going to try to rise up high. And I'm going to try to make life very miserable for a mixed multitude. Why? Because I don't want this church to change. And in my own life, I have to do the same thing with the mixed multitude that is constantly pulling on me to try to get me back to Egypt and Babylon and Ammon and Moab. It's a constant, constant battle. And the battle rages at Berean Baptist Church with a mixed multitude. You know, you want right, then you need to make right bigger. No question about that. We have tithers, but we also have people that give very little and criticize money matters. Always going to be that way. We have workers, and we have those who never work, but they criticize the work. Always going to be like that. Always will. We have pure, decent, virgin, single folks, but we also have immoral, live-like-animals people who gossip about the pure people. Always will have that. It'll always be like that. We have faithful people to church. We also have people that hit and miss. We have those that are concerned about the lost. We also have those who don't really care. They have their own agenda. It's always been like that. Always will. We have folks who think of others, and we have those who only think of themselves. We have those who are filled with the Spirit. We also have those who quench and grieve the Spirit. It's always going to be that way. We have those who respect authority, and we have those who respect only if they are the authority. Oh, folks, we have to be so careful because the mixed multitude, it's always going to be there. You know it because it's right here. Because see, every time someone left Egypt, Egypt came with them. Every time someone left Nehemiah, book of Nehemiah, Ezra, every time someone left Babylon, some of Babylon came with them. Every time they left Moab, some of Moab came with them. It's the mixed multitude. We understand, you should understand it because it's in you. It's in me. It's the battle I fight. And now it's the battle that we fight to remain pure, to remain what we believe that God wants us to be. And the way that you deal with it is not, all right, let's find all the mixed multitude and kill them tonight. All right, we don't do that. First of all, that's illegal. Second of all, it's not very Christian. But what do? You just make right bigger. It's always been like that. I mean, honestly, that is how you do. That's how you deal with it. Nehemiah had to come back and say, hey, I'm back. All right, I'm back. Time to deal with this thing. And he did. And those, it was obvious, they were mixed by association. He dealt with that. Those who had their own agenda, he said, okay, here's the law right here. Here's what we believe. Here's where we stand. If you don't like it, God bless you. You know, if you can put up with us, fine, stick around. We're having a good time. But if you can't, and you know, again, I don't know of anyone here in our congregation that is trying to destroy our church or anything. I certainly am not saying that. But it doesn't surprise me if someone does. Right? There is a devil. He does hate us. And I promise you this, he's trying to destroy you. And he's trying to destroy this church. You know, I talk about the prison ministry. How many we have saved last year? Prison ministry?
824.
So almost 1,000 people saved. I'm surprised you didn't round up. You know, 820-some people saved in the prison ministry. I don't know how many saved soul winning. We've baptized over 100, maybe 200 with the prison ministry. We've seen many, many lives changed and we preach the truth. Amen. And this church is needed here to be what it is. There's plenty of Burger King churches.
Yeah, right.
There are plenty of have-it-your-way churches. But I promise you, the mixed multitude would love to get in here and change this one. And it ain't happening as long as I'm here. I mean, I will fight and fight and fight. If I'm the only crop that has risen up there, I'll be up there, bless God. And because again, you know, it's I'm going to answer to Him. Well, you know, you're going to hurt people's feelings. I don't care about people's feelings. I care about God and what He says. And you look, folks, it's time. That's the very thing with my own flesh. You know, oh, poor flesh. Poor little flesh. You want to listen to 70s music, don't you? Little baby flesh. Yeah, and I say, hey, submit. That's what you got to do. Amen. Say, boom, to the flesh. Don't really shoot your flesh. It's not a good idea, okay? But Paul said, I die daily, and you got to die to that flesh. Don't feel sorry for it. Don't pity it. You know, oh, it used to be so happy watching all those wicked things. Poor little flesh. Don't you pity that flesh, and don't you pity anyone who's trying to change you either. You know, you don't have to be mean. You don't have to, you know, beat people or anything like that. Just take your stand and let your stand be known. I'm doing right. I'm doing right. That is how you deal with a mixed multitude. You wait till next week and you see what Nehemiah did to old Tobiah. Had him a nice little room there in the temple. Yeah. Had a nice little spot there. Cleaned it. We didn't need all the temple things, you know, the sacrifices, the frankincense. We didn't need all that. We needed to make room for Tobiah. Yeah. Nehemiah said, he's what? That's what men of God need to do. They need to say, what? You did what? Amen. Read it. It's in the Bible. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.